to this week's episode of the FitCast. This is episode number 155. I'm your host, Kevin Larrabian. With me this week is Rachel Cosgrove. She's going to be coming up in a little bit, but I guess I got some splaining to do because we didn't have an episode this past weekend. And unfortunately, it's because I had the beautiful thing that we call H1N1 or swine flu. Still got a little bit, you might be able to hear it. But mostly, not so bad. There's 3 days of, you know, feeling horrible, and then a day or so of recovery. But that's it. Nothing too scary. But thanks to everyone who sent emails, like literally dozens of emails. Where's the FitCast? Is everything all right? So I'm happy that you guys out there caring about it. But we have an interview with Rachel coming up, and that's about it. Yeah, we're coming up midweek, and we're going to have another episode in 3 days for you. So hopefully this holds you over. Rachel talks about some awesome, awesome stuff. We hit on triathlon training, talk about women's body image in general. We talk about fashion stuff. Like, we literally hit it on fashion for a second, which is pretty cool. Good for the guys, too, because we're going to want some of your input after you listen to the show. But Rach has a new book coming out, and we talk a little bit about that as well at the end. But it's about 40 minutes, and we just talked about the book for about 5 minutes at the end. There's tons of awesome information in there. So here it is. I'm not going to waste any more time. Again, we'll be back this Sunday with 156, and hopefully it has been a while. I think we'll get John and Lee back on the line and talk to you guys a little bit more. So that's it. Here's Rachel. With me right now is Rachel Cosgrove. She's got a brand new book out now called The Female Body Breakthrough. You can also check it out at orderthefemalebodybreakthroughtoday.com. Rachel, how you been?
I am good. I'm having fun. The book just came out this week, and today we're doing a big Amazon campaign, so it's been a lot of fun. Definitely excited to get the book out to as many women as I can get it out to, get the message out. So it's exciting.
Absolutely. I know we talked a lot in the past on the show about how there's always kind of this dogma from the information that women get. They tend to get it from books that Oprah recommends and things like that don't necessarily tend to be top-notch and sometimes don't include any kind of strength training whatsoever. So I'm very excited. And like we talked about before on the call, that I'm hoping to get my copy tomorrow thanks to that quick Amazon shipping. So I'm hoping to start diving into it tomorrow afternoon.
Well, great. Make sure you bring it with you with a pen when we cross paths.
Will do. Definitely. Absolutely. But we do have some questions from the audience. So let's go to the first one, which is actually a voicemail. Since the last time you've been on, we've been upgrading the technology on the show. So now we can play voicemail. So hopefully this works. And let's jump to it.
Hello. Okay. My name is Beverly, and I'm from Arkansas. I have a question for Rachel. A little about me, I'm 5'5", around 155 pounds, and the Tanita scale says around 28% body fat. I've been training for about 2 years and eating clean about 75 to 80% of the time. I seem to maintain at around 1,600 to 1,800 calories. My goal is mainly fat loss, but with body recomp in mind. My dilemma is I have a very unusual schedule that makes it hard to follow the programs that I can find. I drive a semi for 3 days straight with no time to train, and then I'm home 4 days straight that I can train. So how would you set up calories, diet, and training on this type of schedule? I love to lift heavy, and I hope to keep most of my muscle during fat loss. Thanks for your help. I look forward to hearing your answer.
Alrighty.
Hi there, guys. My name is Ryan.
Whoops, went right into the next question, but we'll wait on that one.
Okay, great question. Sounds like definitely she has some obstacles that she's come up against. So first of all, I'd say she mentions that she's eating healthy about 75 to 80% of the time, and that's actually about the average of what most women That's what you 80% of the if you're eating what you should about 80% of the time, you're going to maintain where you're at. So you really need to step it up and get your nutrition dialed in to 90% of the time. What I see consistently with my clients is, you know, they'll fill out their journals and they'll bring them in and they'll tell me that they're following my recommendations, which basic recommendations, what I refer to as basic recommendations are eat every couple hours. You should eat some kind of breakfast within 15 minutes of waking up in the morning. And then every couple of hours have some kind of nutrition. And that nutrition should consist of lean protein, fruits and vegetables, you know, really just unprocessed, good quality foods coming in every couple of hours. Drinking plenty of water and, you know, basically fueling your body. In my book, I have the Fit Female Credo, which is basically the rules to live by to be a fit female. And one of the rules is to fuel your body to be fabulous. So it's not about starving your body. It's about fueling it, but fueling it with the right foods. And, you know, those foods include basically unprocessed, you know, fruits and vegetables and lean protein and, you know, getting those in every couple hours. So following those rules 90% of the time, if we can just get you up, you know, 10% more, you will start to see your body transform. Absolutely. So I know with my clients, a lot of times they come in and they say, you know, Rachel, I'm following what you tell me to do most of the time. And as soon as I hear that quote, most of the time, I always know that that means it's about 70 to 75% of the time, probably about, you know, what you're doing. And they hand me their journal. And sure enough, you know, as I go through it, it's usually, you know, and to them, I mean, 70 to 75% and 80%, that seems like a lot. Like that is most of the time, you know, you are doing things right, you know, the majority of your week. So it feels like, you know, why aren't I seeing results? And it's frustrating because you are doing, you know, you're doing a lot right. But it takes that extra 10% to really get your body to change because our bodies don't want to change. So, you know, it's that little extra. It's that little, you know, that little extra that you got to give it to get your body to change. So as much as it feels like you're doing what you should most of the time, it is going to be that extra 10% that's going to make the difference. So, you know, sit down and really plan out your week and think about, okay, when are you going to take, you know, it really works out to about 4 meals at the most that you can, you know, either miss or eat the wrong thing. And I recommend go ahead and eat the wrong thing because why miss a meal? It's not worth it. You may as well enjoy yourself. So, you know, go ahead and plan those out. Like, when are those 4 meals going to be? And plan out when you're going to have them and don't feel guilty about them. And if you, you know, if you're going to end up, you know, if you're, it sounds like you drive in a semi, so maybe you do have to eat on the road or, you know, maybe you're going to end up driving through somewhere or, you know, maybe it's just going to be a pizza night. That's okay. You know, just plan that out ahead of time so that you know when those 4 meals are going to be week. Pack your food, bring it with you, cook it ahead of time. Just make sure you have what you need to, you know, to make sure you're following, you know, basic healthy nutrition rules 90% of the time. And that extra 10%, believe it or not, is going to be the key to getting your body to start to change. And, you know, I see it time and time again, and it's, you know, it's that little extra. It's always that little extra that makes the difference. So, and as far as your training goes, we actually have clients that have done our programs twice a week and had amazing results. If you do effective programs, you know, less often, it can actually be more effective because a lot of people are doing too much and their intensity tends to drop and it tends to become less effective. So the fact that you do have a very limited schedule can actually be a benefit to you because you do have to really make your time work effectively. And, you know, you have to get in the gym, you have to use that hour to really, you know, make it work. Go in with a plan, know what you're going to do, and really push yourself and challenge yourself. And like you said you already like to lift weights and all, and that's great. So, you know, definitely make sure you're progressing your weights and you're challenging your body. I'd probably set it up as 2 strength training workouts. So if you have 4 days in a row, they would be separated the farthest days. So if it was, say, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Monday and Thursday would be your strength training days. And then we would go ahead and throw in a metabolic interval workout on either Tuesday or Wednesday. And then you'd go ahead and take Tuesday or Wednesday off. So you don't want to do 3 days in a row. You can do 2 days in a row, but don't do 3 days in a row. If you're really pushing yourself and you're really giving your workouts everything you have, you should not be able to do 3 days in a row. And that third workout is basically useless because by that time your body needs recovery and you don't get results from your workout. You get results from your recovery. So just keep that in mind, you know, hit it hard for 2 days, take a day off and then hit it one more day. And then you're going to be on the road and then you do it again and get your nutrition dialed in 90% of the time, stick to that plan for your training and absolutely your body will transform and you will get to where you want to be. Sounds like you're already just keep moving in the direction. and you're moving, and, you know, keep it up. It sounds like you're doing a great job, and hopefully those tips will help you to just dial it in. That extra little, you know, little 10% is going to make a big difference. So, so that's my answer.
Very thorough. No, it's a great answer. And hopefully, she can give us a call down the line and let us know how that goes. But
yeah,
sounds,
I'd love to
that's
hear
a hectic
it.
Job, man.
Yeah.
Wow.
But I mean, sometimes, like I said, sometimes I find that people that do have limited schedules like that, you know, they can actually, because their time is so valuable, they realize their time is so valuable, you know, really make sure that their workouts are done effectively and that they don't do, you know, these extra workouts that end up really, you know, lessening the results. So, you know, if she, you know, if she figures out her schedule and really, you know, she can actually have amazing results. So
let's talk about a subject that is very hot these days, and that's intermittent fasting. And this is the next voicemail that we have.
Hi there, guys. My name is Ryan. I'm living in Japan, so I emailed this message. I'm 35 years old. I weigh 75 kilograms. I'm 174 centimeters tall, and I'm a junior-senior high school PE teacher. I have a question for Rachel. I'd like to hear your take on intermittent fasting while strength training. I recently heard Brad Pilon talk about it, and he says basically it's no problem. I'm going to give you some quotes in a minute, but I'm currently doing Eric Cressy's Maximum Strength, and I really enjoy it. Thing is, around summertime, I like to drop the body fat. And so I was wondering if intermittent fasting would be a good idea for somebody in my position where I'm always trying to make strength gains, or often trying to make strength gains. Brad says, and this is a quote from a podcast that he did recently, I quote, if your weight training in that training is progressive enough, you're not going to lose muscle mass. Another quote is that he says, for males in their 30s, it's the hard work in the gym and the hard work alone that is going to put on muscle. And he says that nutrients provide a permissive role, as muscles respond to work, not necessarily nutrient intake. And then lastly, he says, look to your diet to lose weight and your weight training to gain muscle. If you do it in reverse, you're just headed for failure. What do you think about that? Thanks, and keep up the good work, everybody.
Alrighty.
Okay, so kind of a controversial topic, I guess. I had to throw it in there, huh? personally, I mean, like I said, in my book, one of my fit female credos is fuel your body to be fabulous. So I do specialize in working with women. So that is, you know, that is what I have really studied and really have, you know, figured everything out exactly what works and worked with. The majority of my clients have been women. But I suppose, you know, one day could maybe can get Alan to write the male body breakthrough. And maybe we'll have fuel your body to be fine. I don't know. We'll figure something out. You know, basically, I mean, what I've found to work, what's worked with our clients and what, you know, after, you know, looking through the research and, you know, we've kind of looked at the intermittent fasting and Alan's played with it some. I've just always been, I mean, I've always just seen such great results with my goal with my clients is to get their metabolism up and to get them burning fuel. And it's not necessarily that I want their diet to be their fat loss and their exercise to be their muscle gain. So my goal is that, you know, with the exercise I give them, they're going to gain muscle mass, which is going to boost their metabolism, which is, you know, going to give them more, you know, he was talking about he wanted to increase his strength gains. They're going to have, you know, increased strength. I mean, we just had a whole group. We had 9 people do a powerlifting competition last weekend, and 6 of them were women. And one of them broke my record of she deadlifted 300 pounds. And she weighs about, I don't know, 135 pounds, I think. So, you know, they're strong. These women are strong. They're gaining strength and yet at the same time losing fat and looking amazing. And, you know, same with the men. It's not that different. It's, you know, still the human body. And what our philosophy is and what we use is basically to fuel the body, give it what it needs to keep the metabolism up. And by fasting, you know, basically the metabolism will start to drop, blood sugar will drop. I have a thing that I call personally, like basically when you get your body to that point where it's burning through food, I would not be a happy camper if I had to fast. And I know, like, I get grumpy and I call it the state of total starvation. And to me, the state of total starvation is like, you never want to get there, because that's the state where you start to rationalize, like, eating anything, where mm-hmm. you're like, you know what, I'm just going to drive through and get the French fries and the Big Mac because I'm freaking hungry, and get out of my way, I'm eating whatever, you know, I don't care what the rules are, I don't care about 90%, I just need to eat. And I know that that's where I would go if I was doing fasting, because that's what happens to me, is I get grumpy and I start mm-hmm. to have cravings that I don't normally have. And for females, I think that can end up being a really destructive thing, because then, you know, they give into those cravings, and then it's, you know, beating themselves up, and then it's the whole mental dialogue that starts, and then it's, you know, a cycle from there. So to me, I have found what works for my clients. Again, you know, I do specialize in working with women, but also with males, is that, you know, fueling their body every couple hours, giving their body what it needs to build the strength, so that then their metabolism increases. The programs we use, though, the majority of the time are full body programs, and we use it's very rare that we'll do, you know, split routines. Most of our clients are, you know, basically want to just feel better, look better, work out a couple times a week and be able to function better in life and just, you know, look good and enjoy life. So that's, you know, the majority of who we work with. But that would be my take on it. You know, basically, keep, you know, fuel your body instead of fasting. I don't see where fasting, you know, is going to be the right answer long term. And I think it may work short term for some people, but long term, when you want to go back to eating, you know, regularly, or, you know, I just know for myself, that would just lead me to end up, you know, probably eating something I probably shouldn't, you know, or that I didn't want to eat. So, and that's the other problem with the state of total starvation, is you usually end up eating something that you didn't really want to eat. Like, it wasn't like a splurge that you went, oh, I'm really craving that, and then you like really enjoy it, and then, you know, it's like one of those enjoyment splurges. It's usually like a, oh, why did I eat that? You know, because you were just so hungry that you went into this, you know, this state of give me food. Mm-hmm. So I would just personally, and you know, with especially with females, I think it would just end up being a destructive cycle. But that's, you know, that's been my experience.
Yeah, you got to think that like 95% of the people out there just won't be psychologically, you know, prepared or in the right mindset to do any kind of fasting. It's just doesn't work, at least from what I've seen with my clients. Let's go to some of the emails. First one's from Francis. The trendy girls at work have upper arms the size of my wrists with no muscle at all. Their arms are like little chicken wings, skinny and weak. However, the stronger I get, the more I feel like the Incredible Hulk as my clothes get tighter and tighter. So do you have any tips for dressing for the office as a fit chick?
Oh, so a fashion question. Yes. Wow, this is the first time I've been asked like a fashion question. I mean, you know, yeah, I think, you know, having some muscle and having some strength is extremely sexy on a woman and looks confident and empowering, and, you know, you should never be ashamed of that. So absolutely show it off. I don't know, you know, what you're allowed to wear in your, I mean, I work in a gym, so I don't know if I'm the one to be asking office questions, office dress questions, but, you know, basically, I mean, if you are self-conscious of your arms, you know, then obviously you want to wear like, longer sleeves, and if you wear something that does have a V-neck, I'm not a fashion person. I mean, I'm not a fashion expert, so this is kind of a funny question. But if you wear something that's a V-neck, I think it would probably draw away from your arms if you're self-conscious of them. But I would encourage you to show them off and, you know, basically, you know, give inspiration to these women, because if your arms are getting, and also the other thing is if your arms are getting like gaining size, take a look at your diet. Just, you might want to, you know, figure that out a little bit, because a lot of times, you know, what should be happening is as you're gaining muscle and you're losing fat, your arms should actually be getting smaller. They're just changing shape. So, you know, you don't, it's, you know, depending on what your goals are and depending on, you know, what you're looking to do, but, you know, you shouldn't necessarily be getting a lot bigger. Just, you should be reinventing the way you look, which, you know, you'll see muscle and see definition, but not necessarily increase the size, you know, because you're a woman and because, you know, you shouldn't have a, you know, dramatic increase in your size. And usually when women do have a dramatic increase in their size, it's because they still have a layer of fat over the muscle. And as the muscle gets bigger, then it feels like, you know, they're getting bigger. But if they actually figured out, you know, got their nutrition dialed in and lost that layer of fat, then that's when their arms would basically be the same size or smaller and have that nice definition. So, you know, take a look at your diet. Just, you know, might want to tighten that up a little bit. And that way we can lose, if there is a layer of fat that, you know, we want to get rid of, so we can show off those nice muscles and inspire these other women. Because, you know, I bet most of them, it's interesting, but you know, I've worked with a lot of clients that are skinny fat that come in the gym, and you'd see them out and about and you'd think, wow, like, she looks great, you know, because she looks good in clothes and she's skinny, right? She, you know, she doesn't look like she struggles with her weight. But most of those women are pretty self-conscious about their bodies, and they know they could look better. And probably if you grabbed their arm, it would feel like mush, and they know that. And so they're probably pretty self-conscious of themselves. So, you know, don't feel like you shouldn't be proud of looking the way you do and having muscle and being strong, because they're probably jealous. And in my book, I discuss becoming the bitch. And that the bitch is basically how, you know, women, we tend to be a little catty. We tend to, you know, oh, she's such a bitch. You know, she's, you know, fit and looks good. And, you know, that's probably, you know, you may have become the bitch around the office. But bitch stands for be inspiring, totally. That's your goal. Is, you know what? Call me a bitch. That's good. Cause you know what? I'm going to, you know, I'm here to inspire and be confident and feel good about myself. So, you know, be inspiring, totally confident and hot, and, you know, run with that, show off those arms, be, you know, try and inspire them, try to get them to, you know, make a change. And I bet you'd be surprised. I bet they would actually love to have some advice from you on how they could actually tone up their arms. So hopefully that answers that question.
No, totally. And they've done like surveys, and men have found athletic builds of women to be more attractive than like the supermodel or,
right,
you know, those incredibly skinny celebrities and stuff like that. So, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I mean, I'm hoping, you know, that's my whole goal, is to try and change, you know, the way that women think they should look, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's, you know, it's just so many women think they have to look a certain way, and it's a way that none of us could ever get, you know, like, we're never going to look that way. So, being strong, being fit, feeling empowered, feeling confident. I mean, that's what it's all about.
Absolutely.
So be the bitch.
I think that's the title of this episode, maybe. the next question that we have comes from Carrie. Hi, I hope it's not too late, but I have two questions about triathlon training for Rachel. I've done it once and really want to try to place in two of them next summer, as well as increase my endurance so I can try an Olympic distance triathlon. Swimming used to be my weakest sport of the three, but I worked at it last year and was able to do the half mile in about 16 to 17 minutes. Unfortunately, I won't have access to a pool until March or April. Can you recommend any strength or cardio work that can help me so I'm not starting from scratch again in the spring? Also, I am not a runner at all and tend to get hip bursitis from time to time. I'm fine running a 5K, but have never really been able to run farther than that. What's the best way to work on increasing my distance to a 10K without injury so I can do an Olympic triathlon? Thanks so much.
Well, it sounds like she's on the right track. You know, she's thinking ahead, which is a good plan for this, because, I mean, the key is just to progress slowly and really come up with a plan. Definitely including some kind of, you know, strength training now that can increase the strength in her core, in her joints, you know, making sure that everything is able to handle the impact. Every step you take as a runner, you know, every step is going to be impact on the joint. So the stronger each joint is, the more impact it can take and the less likely you'll be to get injured. It sounds like, you know, you already have bursitis is basically inflammation in that hip joint. So, you know, doing stuff like taking omega-3 fats actually help to decrease inflammation, and, you know, using recovery methods. Like, your main thing, again, you know, keep in mind that you get your results from your recovery, not from your workout. So it's not about doing a ton of volume. I think a lot of triathletes tend to do way too much. They think the more volume, the better. But with you, it's going to be very, you know, very effective. Less workouts, spend, you know, at least 2 to 3 workouts in the gym doing strength training. Single leg exercises, you know, like single leg squats are a great exercise for you. You know, using a single, like, reverse lunges on like a valve slide are a great exercise. The valve slide check out valslide.com if you don't know what that is. You know, those are all core, you know, where you have to use your core, you have to switch on, you know, and then driving off each leg and building that strength. As far as swimming goes, I found with swimming, personally, swimming is the shortest distance in the triathlon. So, or the shortest part of the triathlon. So you basically, you could like get in the pool for, you know, I've done it where I've gotten in the pool 3 times a week and made sure I really worked on my swimming. And it's like, maybe I shave a minute off my swim, you know, it never really translates to like this huge, like if you're not a swimmer, which I wasn't a swimmer, I learned to swim for triathlon. It's never like, you know, I don't ever shave that much time off it because it's just such a short part of the race. But if you spend time, you know, working on your transition or working on your bike, I mean, the bike is the biggest part of the race. So, you know, if you gain strength in the gym, that's going to translate to climbing hills and going to translate to your bike getting faster. That's going to, you know, really increase your time and make it. So what I'm trying to say is don't worry too much about the swim. If you can get into the pool and just make sure you can swim the distance, you know, it sounds like you already have, you know, already have that figured out. So your body will remember that, get in, you know, before a couple weeks before the, make sure you get in, you know, once or twice before the race, but don't worry about it too much because if you're not a swimmer, it's not, you know, basically the race starts once you get out of the water. So get through the swim and then get on your bike and in the gym lifting weights and getting stronger, you're going to kick butt on your bike. And as far as progressing, just make sure you progress slowly. You know, it should be no more than 10% a week. So, you know, just really slowly progress your running and do 3 weeks of progressing. So maybe you do, you know, like you said, you're already at a 5K. So if you're doing 3 miles, then maybe next week do 3.5, 4, but you want to track it all out so that you end up at your race being able to do the race distance. So kind of work backwards from your race. And, but what you want to do is progress, 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 then regress. So go like 3 miles, 3.5, 4 miles, 4.5, and then drop back to 3.5. So give your body a week to drop back, you know, periodizing your program so that you have a recovery week built in every 3 weeks. So your body gets a week to kind of like less volume. You know, you can work on your speed and intensity, but just drop the volume so your body gets a chance to recover, and then you can build again for 3 weeks and then drop back for a week. So just, you know, do that building up to the race, and, you know, just slowly build that volume in. And depending on how much time you have, you might have to add a mile every week. A mile's still less than 10%, you know, so you'll still be fine. And you know, you'll be able to get yourself up and just, you know, again, just recover, like put your emphasis on recovery, you know, use ice after your workouts if you feel like you're getting some inflammation. And, you know, just if you can get a massage, use a foam roller, just really put a lot of emphasis on recovery and doing effective workouts and probably doing less of them. And you should be good to go.
Very cool. Best of luck, Harry. And let us, again, let us know how the triathlon goes if you go that route. One last quick question from Gina about pre-contest dieting. Says, hi, everyone. I have a question about transitioning off a pre-contest diet. I compete in my final fitness model competition. She had did 3 this year, next weekend, and I'm getting nervous about transitioning off my pre-contest diet. I have so far been really diligent about not gaining too much weight between competitions, but I have had gaps of less than 3 months between them. This next gap will be much longer, as I will likely not compete again until next summer. I've lost 30 pounds in January, and this year was the first time I've competed, and I'm not sure what to do when competition season is over. I work out at home without a trainer and been using the New Rules of Lifting for Women as my guide. I plan on continuing with my weightlifting program and know that I need to consume more calories than I am consuming now if I want to gain muscle, but I don't want to blimp up in the off season and then have to drop a ton of weight all over again. My diet right now is fairly low carb and high protein, with most of my carbs consumed around workouts. Any suggestions or strategies that you have would be awesome. Thanks so much.
I think the biggest mistake most women make when they do a competition is they have this, you know, strict plan and they're following it and they know every calorie, every morsel, every gram of what they're eating. And as soon as the competition's over, they go from that, because it sounds like in the past, you know, she's had, or you've had, Sorry, your name's Gina. Gina's, you've had another competition in mind, so you probably get back on that same plan and, you know, continue to watch every, you know, make sure you know what you're eating and you're going to be ready for your next show. And this is a different situation because you're going to finish this and you're not going to have anything for a while. And what happened that, you know, that plan to no plan at all and just, you know, eat whatever you want. So yes, you're very smart to start thinking ahead and start thinking about, okay, I need to have a plan in place so that when this is over, I know what I'm doing. And I would say, again, using the 90% rule, you know, allowing yourself 10% of the time to splurge so that you can, you know, enjoy life and, you know, some of the things that you feel like you may have been deprived of over, you know, this competition season, that you can indulge in those, but you also are still in control and that you can, you know, you basically, can still follow the basic nutrition rules the rest of the time and, you know, have a limit. Like, you know, if you have, not necessarily a weight, but if you have a pair of jeans that you, I call them your thermometer jeans. They tell you whether you're hot or not. So keep those close by. And if those start to get tight, you know that you've kind of strayed too far and you're probably dropping down to, you know, following the basic nutrition rules 60 to 70% of the time instead of 90% of the time. Again, remember, you can also, I mean, you can maintain following them 80% of the time. So the key is just not getting into that black and white thinking of being on or off. You know, that's the hardest thing is you've been on, and most women, you know, for so long, cause you've been ready, getting ready for a competition, and women tend to get very black and white thinking. And so it's like, you're on. And then as soon as the competition's over, you're off. And you know, that on and off black and white, you know, I'm on my diet, I'm off my diet. I had a good day, I had a bad day. If you use any of that language, it's a red flag that you need to start thinking about, okay, you know what, this is a lifestyle. This is how I eat long term. And it's not about on, off, black, white, you know, good day, bad day. It's about fueling my body with healthy food, following, you know, the basic nutrition rules that I know that make me feel good and give me energy and, you know, give my body what it needs. And then allowing myself, you know, a couple meals a week to, you know, have a glass of wine, have some pizza, have, you know, dessert, have the things that, you know, maybe I've have felt I've deprived of, not feel guilty about it and not let it send me into a spiral of, you know, eating the wrong things, but instead enjoy it, you know, enjoy the splurge and then get back into my basic nutrition rules that I know make me feel good, you know? And so just kind of think that way rather than that black and white on and off, you know, good days, bad days, and kind of just use those as red flags that, you know, you need to kind of think more long-term and that this is the way you eat, you know, for life. And the way you're eating now for your competition is not the way you eat for life, because it's you know, for the rest of your life. And that's where it gets dangerous, because you start getting into that you're on, you're off type of mentality. So hopefully that helps you out. You know, I'm sure you'll do great at your competition. Good luck. And just, yeah, have in your mind what you plan to do as the competition comes and the next day, you know, start getting on a plan for 90% of the time. And do allow yourself some freedom though. Don't try to stay on your diet. That's the other mistake women make. Well, I'm just going to keep eating this way. And you can't keep eating that way long term. I mean, most women, when you're dieting for a competition, it's pretty extreme and it's not something you could keep long term. And so you'll end up just, again, going on and off that extreme plan. So give yourself some freedom, you know, to enjoy the things you want to enjoy. And then, you know, most of the time, and I shouldn't say most of the time, majority of the time, make sure you're eating the foods, you know, that make you feel good and that make your body look good and that, you know, keep you in the jeans that you like to wear that you feel good in. So hopefully that helps you out.
Very good. Lastly, Rachel, tell us about the book, The Female Body Breakthrough, and also what's going on at orderthefemalebodybreakthroughtoday.com.
Sure. Glad you asked, Kevin. The Female Body Breakthrough it's been in the works for a year and a half. I got the book deal a year and a half ago from Rodale, and I was excited to write it. Originally, it was a book deal on a strength training program for women. And as I started to write it, I was in the gym. I took on a group of women to train in the morning, six women that basically I wanted to take them through the program because I didn't want to write a book that was I wanted it to be the programs that we use in the gym. And it's based on the templates that we use in the gym. We've used in the gym over the 10 years that we've had it open with, you know, we've had over 1,000 women come through our doors and we've tracked every workout, tracked every result. And I really wanted it to be the real world, what we do in the gym and, you know, what we've seen to work. And so working with these women and, you know, just kind of hanging out in the gym and just talking to women and trying to realize, okay, what is it that I want to share, you know, in my book? Like, this is my opportunity to share my message of, you know, what the women in our gym get. I realized it was much more than just a strength training program. You know, it wasn't just about, you know, okay, sets, reps, you know, this is the exercises you need to do. Mm-hmm. But the women who transformed for the long term and who really, you know, became this fit female were the ones who changed their mindset, who actually became a fit female, who, you know, learned how to eat like one or learned how to think like one and, you know, really became more about the mindset. And, you know, so really it's a three-prong approach of mindset, nutrition, and a strength training program. And really, you know, the whys behind that and really just, you know, it's a very girl-to-girl, you know, just, you know, talk, girl to girl talk of, you know, me explaining exactly, you know, why we do what we do, why it works, and, you know, hopefully really getting the message across that so many women, you know, have been misled to, you know, think that they have to do hours and hours of torturous exercise or, you know, repetitive cardio. And I mean, I truly believe, so that, you know, the more I thought about it, I thought, you know, really strength training just happens to be the type of exercise that builds this woman, because, you know, not only does it build a body that has an increased metabolism with, you know, more muscle mass and, you know, strength, but also for her mind, like for a woman to come into the gym and be able to, you know, progress her workouts, you know, think about, most women have been conditioned their whole life to work out from a standpoint of what they can't do. Like most of us, you know, growing up, it was, you know, oh, you can't do push-ups, do girl push-ups. You know, you can't ever do a chin-up. Just hang from the bar. You know, that's going to be fine. You know, don't lift too heavy. You're a girl. You know, you might hurt yourself. And, you know, so it's like we go into the gym, you know, to work out. And it's like, okay, well, I can't do that. And I can't do that. So I guess I'll just, you know, get on the Stairmaster and, you know, stare off into space. Think about how fat my butt is the whole time, you know, and it's like this destructive, you know, I mean, you imagine all the women on all those cardio machines the entire time, their minds are like negative chatter going on. You know, they're thinking, oh God, I wish my butt would stop jiggling. I wish I could have this muffin top, you know, gosh, that girl looks so much better than me. You know, like that's how women, that's what goes on in their heads. Where with strength training, like a woman comes into the gym and starts thinking about, what can I do? How much weight can I lift? Maybe I can do a push-up. You know, how hard would it be to do a chin-up? Maybe I can. You know, maybe is there a way for me to do that? And starts having a different mindset when she approaches her workouts and approaches her body and, you know, starts to see her body get stronger and feel empowered. And, you know, there's no room when you're lifting weights. You got to think about, okay, my core is tight. I got to, you know, make sure my form is good and I'm doing this the right way and I have, you know, my weights on my heels or whatever it might be for the exercise. And you're not thinking about, you know, you don't have this negative chatter going on because you're focused on what you're doing. And so I think strength training, you know, just happens to be the form of exercise that creates this fit female body and this fit female mindset. And I think, you know, it's definitely, you know, all of it works together. It's not like you can just do the nutrition and get the body and, you know, it's not just about the body, it's about the whole attitude and the whole feeling and being confident and being empowered. And throughout the book, I share my own stories, my own struggles with body composition. I mean, I've been, you know, 9% body fat on stage for a figure competition. I've done an Ironman triathlon where I've seen what my body looks like when I've, you know, done endurance and done 20 to 30 hours of cardio a week. I've also struggled with an eating disorder. I've struggled with my weight. I've gotten up to 200 pounds, which most people never knew until it was kind of one of those things. I wore the baggy clothes and never really told anybody, you know, that I was, until I got on the scale and went, oh my God, I'm almost 200 pounds. I need to do something. So, you know, I've had my own struggles. And so I tell my stories and kind of that I've been there. And then I have like at least 20 different women throughout the book who are clients of ours who have transformed, and I have their before and after pictures and their stories and exactly, you know, what they went through and how they transformed. So it's a mixture of, you know, not only, you know, looking at the research and all of the history that I've been so lucky to come across and meet and learn from, but also my own experience and then the experience of my clients and just really the real world, what we've seen to work in our gym. And, you know, it's really what we use in the gym. It's, you know, that's what's in the book. And so I'm really excited to get it out, to message out there to help women to finally get an answer, to look the way they want to look and feel the way they want to feel. And today on Order the Female Body Brain, I'm giving giving away 3 months of video coaching with me, which basically will be me coaching you by video through the Female Body Breakthrough for 3 months. You'll get it in your email box, and it'll take you through step by step. You also get a poster mailed to you of the Fit Female Credo, and then you also get I have some ebooks in there that a bunch of my friends have given as free gifts. And then I also give you my number one secret to get started to guarantee success. So that's all only available today. If you buy the book on Amazon today, I'm really trying to get my book. I was working to get my book to number one, and it's actually number one across the board in the three categories that it's listed in. And then now it's, I mean, overall, all books, it's actually number 24, like in everything, like
that's of awesome.
All books on Amazon, it's number 24. So it's been pretty fun to watch all day long today and just see. And to me, it's just, it shows me that it's, you know, it's getting out to as many women as I can possibly get it out to. And that's my goal, is to reach as many women as I can with the messages in the book. So I would love for everybody today on the 12th, go to order the Female Body Breakthrough today.com. And get your free gifts, get your book, get your free gifts, and you know, definitely check out the book. And I look forward to hearing everybody's transformations and hearing about their stories of, you know, how it helps them to make a breakthrough. So
totally,
that's
no,
what it's about.
No, the women out there need to get this information. I think it's awesome. I mean, if we can just get it some attention on Amazon, it's going to make a huge difference out there. I don't want to go into the gym and see every woman in the gym on an elliptical. You know?
No. So my goal is for women to take over the strength training floor,
yeah.
Like it to become like the beauty salon, like where you walk in and it's like all women, and the men are like, I don't really know where to go. Like they kind of feel awkward, you know, like a man walks into a beauty salon and kind of feels awkward. Like, oh, you know, I don't know if this is really where I should be. And that's what I want it to feel like. I want men to walk in and be like, oh, this is like where women, but I mean, the cool thing is that men would love that, because all the women would look great. They'd be
totally
confident, feel good, you know, and the men would be like, heck yeah, this is awesome. Look at all these women, you know, instead of women just, you know, the body's never changing, you know, on the same machine with, you know, the negative talk going on. So that's the goal, is for women to take over the strength training floor and, you know, start feeling confident and empowered. So I'm on a mission.
I would love to walk in the gym and see a woman deadlift twice her body weight and more than the guy next to her. Like that's,
yep.
I mean, that's something that we should see.
Right. And that's, I mean, that happens daily in our gym. You know, that's like, I forget that that's not what goes on in most gyms, because our gym, it's like there's women lifting all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And you go in there and there's women deadlifting, squatting, front squatting, you know, chin-ups, push-ups, you name it. And they don't put limits on themselves, because we don't put limits on them. And they come in and, you know, they progress, and they see, they're just, it's their place. You know, they come in and it's just great to see. You know, it's like the only women's gyms up until now are like, you know, Curves, which...
Yeah.
How disempowering is that, you know? So, you know, I want gyms to become an empowering place for women, where they can go and feel comfortable. And, you know, whenever I talk to women, I, you know, I'm like, ask questions to women, and I'm like, you know, how come you don't strength train, or did you ever strength train? And I always hear, no, because I feel intimidated. I'm uncomfortable and I don't know what to do. And so I've heard that like from a lot of women, you know, those are the three reasons why they don't lift weights, is because they feel intimidated, uncomfortable, and they don't know what to do. Like they go in their commercial gym and the weight training floor just looks intimidating and uncomfortable, and they have no idea where to start. And so I'm really hoping with the book that, you know, I can really get women to at least give them, you know, a place to start, and, you know, to start thinking, okay, maybe I can do this, and, you know, start changing their mindset of, like I said, from what can I do instead of what can't I do, and you know, to feel more comfortable and to start making it their place and realize that they do belong on the strength training floor. So it should be fun.
Totally. And, you know, like you said, it's like three cups of coffee. Like, that's how I justify books. You know, guys, you go out and you buy three cups of coffee. That's the price of this book. It's $15. And, you know, the holidays are coming up. Buy some for your female friends and family. Like, this is,
you know, what I say.
Stuff.
Like, I'm like, when I found out it was, well, it's, the retail price is $21.99, and Amazon's selling it for $14.82, I think. And I'm like, when I found out that was the price of it, I was like, are you kidding me?
Amazon,
this is like
rocks.
I'm like, this is like 15 years of my, like, life. Like, this is like my heart and soul is like poured into this book. Like, everything I've ever learned, every person I've ever talked to, every, you know, like I said, like everything is in this book, and you're going to get it for less than $15. I'm like, if you're even thinking that this is not a good deal, you know, I don't even want to hear about it, because to me, I'm like, you get everything I have, like everything I have to give, I literally poured into that book. Like I have nothing left. Like it's there. And, you know, you can get it for less than $15. So yeah, it's a no brainer. So go on Amazon, get my book, help me get it up. Maybe, hey, heck, maybe we can get it up to number one in all books. Wouldn't that be cool? Maybe I can, you know, meet right now. I got like Sarah Palin ahead of me, so we can bump her off and get me ahead of her.
Definitely, fitness information is probably going to be a little bit more exciting than what she has to say anyways. No bias, I'm not saying. Well, anyways, very busy right now. I'm going to let you go, but thank you so much for coming on the show and talking with us. And definitely, let's talk further down the road. Let's get you on again soon.
Sounds good, Kevin. Thank you for having me on.
All right, great. Take care.
Okay, thanks.